Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title will go and explain everything for you. It is the Animation Podcast. Did you understand that? No? Then what the fridge are you even doing here? Alright, but no, specifically though, this actually talks about the latest news that happened this week. So to start things off, I'm going to be looking into a little bit more details on the brand new trailer that Disney released regarding what would be the pilot or the premiere for the brand new Tangled series, or Tangled Before Ever After. It's a little bit of a confusion, but it'll make sense once, like, I'll tell you guys about it. But then we will be looking into a trailer that is definitely not as exciting with The Nut Job 2. Yeah, they decided to release that for some reason. Then we will be looking into a cast that is surprisingly something that I am really intrigued about. Like, at first I was turned off, but then I looked into more of the details about it, and I was looking at it going, ooh, fancy. And then afterwards, we will be looking into Your Name, the highly praised Japanese animated feature that's finally going to be coming into North America. And finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And so to start things off, we are going to be looking onto television, but more what Disney is going to be delivering. Now, it seems that in 2017, Disney is planning a lot more new shows that seems to be getting a lot of hype and a lot of anticipation for, considering that a lot of them are based on older properties or stuff that they have already done. Now, some can range to stuff that are based on their movies, like we're going to get the Big Hero 6 series, that, or there's also reboots of what they've previously done, like DuckTales, which a lot of people are really excited about, considering that the brand new voice of Scrooge McDuck, the successor to the late and great Alan Young, is going to be one of the doctors from Doctor Who. But then there is another one that has grabbed a lot of interest among people, which is Tangled. And like I previously stated before, the title of it is starting to be a little bit more confusing. Some people say that it's Tangled the series, or it's Tangled Before Ever After. And the reason why it's called Tangled Before Ever After, because this is in between of the projects we have already gotten from Tangled. This is pretty much set right after the movie, but before Tangled Ever After, the animated short where we see Eugene and Rapunzel getting married. But in terms of what this is, the animated series that we're getting, one thing that is actually very interesting and like something that has really piqued my interest and like really curious about is regarding how the fridge did Rapunzel grow her hair back. Because you see in all the advertisements before that Rapunzel has her signature long blonde hair. And if you guys have seen the movie and the short, like, at the end of the movie, her hair is pretty much really short and it's brown. And the same thing in the same can be pretty much said for the animated short. But how the fridge is it that in the middle, it grew back? Well, Disney has actually released a trailer for it along with an announcement clarifying what the fridge is going on with the title. Okay, so let me just say this right now. The title for the show itself is just going to be Tangled the Series. It's just going to be that, nothing more. So some of you might be wondering where the fridge does Before Ever After come from. Well, I'll tell you, it's not going to be a part of the series, but instead, it's going to be a brand new animated feature, a brand new Disney Channel original movie, and that is the trailer that they have released, which pretty much shows, like, it's more of a pilot episode of what's going to be Tangled the series, and this one is pretty much going to be clarifying on how is it that Rapunzel got her hair back. And from what we've seen is that, like, the most that we got in terms of an explanation is that Rapunzel and Eugene, they decided to go horseback riding, and then suddenly Rapunzel went into a different direction, where she ended up on a different, like, location. It's more dark than anything. And then she found something, but a new character is on the side. She popped out, and she decided to run out, but suddenly her hair grew back. And that's pretty much the big dilemma of this movie, is what the fridge is Eugene and Rapunzel gonna do now that her hair is pretty much back 70 feet long and all that kind of stuff. Like, what can she do with all that hair, basically? And, like, they even try to cut it, but apparently her hair has the same capacity as freaking Superman, for God's sakes. So, that's basically the whole idea of it, and Disney didn't really announce anything more about what's going on. Like, we do know some of the aspects, like, of course, some of the original voice actors are coming back. Like, Mandy Moore is going to be Rapunzel, and Zachary Levi will be Flynn Rider, a.k.a. Eugene. So they're all returning. But I will admit, looking at the trailer itself, I gotta admit, I was actually pretty impressed. Now, I mean, the design itself, I mean, like, going from 3D to 2D, like, they really did simplify it. It's not all that great. But I have to say, the animation itself, like, the way that the characters move, that was surprisingly really good. Like, even by TV standards, I was actually really impressed by the animation. Like, yeah, like, I guess this is one of those situations that you can't really judge a book by its cover, but yeah, like, whoever did the animation on this, they did a really fantastic job, and, you know, I might actually even give it a chance just to see, like, what this whole series is about. It actually looks good. I really do enjoy Tangled the movie, so, who knows, maybe this looks like it could be a lot of fun, and yeah, I really do want to know about the answer about what happened to Rapunzel's hair, but I do have a little bit of a theory of what could potentially happen, because the thing is that Rapunzel was in a dark area when her hair pretty much grew back, and my theory would be that she actually found the flower that made her hair, like, that pretty much started her hair to be, like, long and blonde. So, like, and the reason why I think that, because, like, if you think during the original anime, like, if you look back at the animated feature, the flower is what pretty much makes Mother Gothel's hair, not her hair, but it pretty much makes Mother Gothel completely youthful. Like, she wouldn't age with that flower, and that's why she kept, like, for some reason, I guess Rapunzel ingested or something. Like, she got the flower's powers, and now it's in her hair, which is why Mother Gothel kidnapped baby Rapunzel, and now, like, she pretty much kept her so she can remain forever youthful. So that's pretty much the explanation on the flower. But my guess is that she, like, I guess Rapunzel rediscovered that flower, and it suddenly got back into her hair. So that's pretty much my theory on it. Like, maybe that's not the case, or like, maybe it could be, but that's kind of like my idea. But still, I would like to see the original movie to see what it could potentially be. But, you know, I actually did thought about something regarding Tangled Before Ever After, and you know, maybe this is not the case. Like, technically, this wouldn't necessarily count, but I kind of made, like, a small little discovery about it, is that, holy crap, this is the first time in almost a decade that Disney has pretty much done a direct-to-video sequel to one of their animated films. It's been a long time. I mean, the last one that they have officially done was Ariel's Beginnings, which was the third Little Mermaid movie that was pretty much the whole prequel to everything. And then ever since then, John Lasseter came in and like pretty much reorganized everything so that now Disney Toon Studios, the only thing that they have done is just nothing but Tinkerbell sequels and also the Planes movies. That's it. But yeah, like technically this would count. And I mean, this is not the first time that Disney would use a movie in order to go like to simultaneously use it as a pilot to start a brand new series. They have done that a while back in 2003 with Stitch the movie, where it would begin the Lilo and Stitch series. And simultaneously, that would actually end off with another direct-to-video movie with Leroy and Stitch. So, yeah, I find it kind of coincidental. Maybe it doesn't necessarily count because this would be more in the category of a TV movie than it is a direct-to-DVD sequel. But it still kind of counts in a way. But I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just find it a bit coincidental. Who knows how it can go. But yeah, honestly, I feel pretty interested to see how it goes. And actually, there is, I just noticed this little fact here, because I'm using my source on the Rotoscopers, and they did mention something that is pretty interesting. It mentioned how Tangled the Series is the first non-preschool animated program developed from an animated Disney movie since The Emperor's New School in 2006. Well, I gotta admit, that is actually pretty intriguing. Well, I guess you could simultaneously say that this and the Big Hero 6 series is kind of on the same, like, they would count as the same thing to hold that little history marker, considering that they're both going to be released in 2017. But if you guys are interested to check out Tangled Before Ever After, the original movie that's going to start the series, Disney has scheduled it for the original movie to be out sometime in March. They did not clarify when. And as for the Tangled series, well, they didn't really specify of when that's going to be out, but I can guarantee you it's going to be sometime this year. And so for our next story, we're going to be jumping from one trailer to another. Now, unlike the Tangled series or Tangled Before Ever After trailer, like, it got me really interested. I was really impressed with what they've delivered, especially on the animation. And it got me interested in terms of the story to know what it's about. But then there's this. And wow. It got, like, you know, honestly, the best way to describe it is that it's a massive turnoff. It really was. Because honestly, this is just one of those movies that really shouldn't exist. And I'm talking, of course, about The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. Yes, that's going to be the name of the sequel to The Nut Job. So some of you are probably wondering, what is it that The Nut Job 2 is going to be offering for us? Well, this is the story that I've gathered from the trailer. So basically, Surly, the douchebag squirrel, and all their friends, all his friends are pretty much, you know, they're having fun, they're all celebrating in the nut shop. So they're just relaxing and they're having fun, but then suddenly, the nut shop explodes. I don't know why it exploded, but yeah, basically, it just suddenly exploded, and they don't know where they would get their nuts. So, Surly devised an idea where he stated, hey, I got an idea. Let's go to this nice little park and we can go make our home there and we can have all the food and nuts that we want. But then there's this evil millionaire tycoon who comes in and he realizes that Liberty Park is making no money at all. So he decided, in order to make it profitable, he's going to turn it into an amusement park. So he's pretty much... his plan is pretty much to take down all the trees and stuff like that in order to go and create this little amusement park so that he can make a profit out of it. But the animals are not going to take it. They want to go and save their home, so they're going to do their best to stop the evil millionaire tycoon in order to go and save their new home. And that's basically the plot that I've gathered from The Nut Job 2. And I'm going to be very honest, guys, yeah, it's, like, basically, it's exactly what you think, or it is exactly what you expect from a sequel to the frickin' Nut Job. It's just, why? It's just stupid. Like, honestly, there's no other way to explain it. It's just absolutely stupid. Not even once did I find anything to be remotely funny. I mean, like, there are a few, like, I noticed, like, there were a few attempts of jokes, but they were just poorly executed, honestly. And I mean, the animation itself, I guess it could be decent, but it's just, everything about it is just bland. There's nothing really memorable to check out. And then you also have the characters themselves, and, like, the moment I saw Surly coming back, like my heart just sank. It's just like, ugh, you again. Good God. And honestly, like, it's just... The thing is that I really hate Surly, because in the first movie, he was such a hateable character. Like, he really is. He's a dick to everyone, and not in a funny or in an enjoyable way. He's just a flat-out dick that nobody likes. And even in this movie, you still got that air of scum. That, you know, like, he's just absolutely hateable, and you could tell that he's still hateable here, but now he's becoming more of the generic hero and stuff like that. But I guess, like, the new element that you have gathered from that we're pretty much going to be getting from this is mostly the factor that it's going to be very, very preachy in terms of the environmental message. Like, you could tell that it's going to be hammering in very hard on this, like, save the trees environmental message, to protect the forest and don't let fat cat corporations to come in and take away all the trees to save the animals' homes and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be the same dull, boring, preachy message that we have gathered from many previous animated features before. Like, I don't think this is going to be doing us any favors by giving their take on the freaking message. Seriously, it's just going to be embarrassing all around. But honestly, like, when I thought about it, like, when I thought about how this movie is going to be, I did think about how this is going to be for this year compared to, like, what animated films were last year. And I think we can all pretty much agree what the Emoji Movie will be for this year is going to be what Norm of the North was for 2016. Like, we can all agree that there's a very, very high chance that the Emoji Movie will be the worst animated feature of 2017, or maybe one of the worst of the decade even. But with the Nut Job 2, some could say that this could be, like, the Nut Job 2 is going to be for this year what Ice Age Collision Course was for 2016. And that technically is not true, because the thing is, Ice Age Collision Course really is on a league of its own. Because the thing is, it's the fifth Ice Age film, everyone is freaking tired of that that franchise, and, like, Blue Sky just needs to stop making these movies. It's gone to the point that it has really been ridiculous with the amount of sequels that they have done, and you could tell that now they're just completely running out of ideas. But with the Nut Job 2, here's my argument. What the Nut Job 2 will be for this year will be what The Wildlife was for 2016. And the reason why I say that is because chances are The Nut Job 2 may not end up becoming the worst animated film of 2017, but it is absolutely unnecessary. This is a movie that no one asked for to exist. And plus the fact that this should have easily been a movie that would have come out in 27, like this is a movie that could have easily been released in on direct to DVD, you know? But because the thing is that The Nut Job barely made any money at the box office, and there are very few of those people who have even seen The Nut Job would even say that they liked it. So really, there's no point for this movie to come out, like, especially in theaters. Like, this could have been just a direct-to-DVD movie to please that little fan base, and then that's it, nothing more. Like, it won't bother anyone. The fact that it is released in theaters, it just makes me wonder, like, honestly, why? Like, what goal are you going to achieve? But it's not just that either. It's not really the fact that it's coming out in theaters. It's coming out in theaters in the summer. That's the part that really doesn't make sense to me. They really think that The Nut Job 2 would be strong enough for a summer release. And I know that technically it would be early summer. Like, I believe it's going to be released in the end of May or something like that. But still, like, releasing the Nut Job 2 in the summer when the first movie is a January film. And I remember I talked to one of my friends. You may know him as Joey Tedesco from Cartoon Palooza. And he was honestly shocked to discover how the Nut Job 2 was a summer movie. Because the thing is, like I said before, the Nut Job, and what should be the Nut Job 2 as well, is a January film. It's pretty much released during that time when movies are dead. Well, not movies are dead, but I mean, like, nobody really goes much into the cinema. They don't really care much to see whatever movie is out there, except if any of the holiday movies would be intriguing them. Like, a recent example would be, like, Rogue One or Sing. And that's the thing, is that, like, especially with the quality that they're pretty much delivering in the trailer, like, this could have easily been released in January. We could be having this right now, but for some reason, they're putting it in the summer. Like, why? Do you really think that it would stand a chance? Like, seriously, why? You're just setting yourself up for failure. That really, like, honestly, what were they thinking? It makes no sense. It really doesn't. But anyways, that's pretty much the whole thing with the Nut Job 2. So if for some weird reason you want to actually see this in theaters, then you probably have to wait until the end of May to see the return of the douchebag squirrel with his really preachy environmental message. Now for our next story, it's going to be about a movie that, honestly, I looked at the company and I was just turned off by it. I was just there like, oh god, you know, like, I kind of had the same feelings when I watched the Nut Job 2 trailer. But then, afterwards, I looked more into detail of what they're trying to do with it, and I realized, holy crap, I know what this is, and I'm actually kind of excited for it. Because here's the thing. Okay, now, the news report is that apparently the Weinstein Company has added more celebrities into an animated feature that they want to distribute known as the Guardian Brothers. So basically the news report is that people like Edward Norton, Bella Thorne, Jim Gaffigan, Mike Birbiglia, and Randall Park are going to be coming in as a part of the cast. They will also be joining in who has already been announced on it, like Meryl Streep, Mel Brooks, and Nicole Kidman onto it. That's actually a pretty impressive cast already, but still, it's a Weinstein movie, we don't know what it is. But the Guardian Brothers is actually something that's not going to immediately be developed at the Weinstein Company or anything like that. This movie has already been made, it's already finished, and it was already released in early 2016 in China. And back there, it was known as The Little Door Gods. Now, at that point, when I read the title of The Little Door Gods, my mind immediately went, wait a minute, The Little Door Gods. I remember that for some reason. And I thought about it, and I did a little bit more research, and then I discovered, yes, I have seen this. Well, not seen the movie, but I've seen the trailer. And holy crap, if you guys have not seen the trailer for The Little Door Gods, it's actually really, really good. It's actually really impressive. I mean, sure, I didn't really understand anything what the characters are saying, but I did get a good idea of what the story could be about. And the visuals that are incorporated in there, holy crap, it looks amazing. The Chinese animators there, they really did a good job on the computer animation. Like, I was very impressed by it. So now knowing that the Weinstein Company is going to bring this into North America, and they're putting in a whole English cast, and a very impressive English cast, it kind of made me excited all over again for this movie. Holy crap. But especially, like, if I can go back into the aspect of the cast, like, you really do have an all-star cast here. Like, you got, really recognizable and very respected actors in here, like, with Ed Norton and Jim Gaffigan and Bella Thorne. But already, the ones that are already announced, like, these are big names that some of them, like, you barely even hear in animation. Like, the fact that you actually do get people like Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman onto an animated project, that's actually really, really impressive. Like, even with Meryl Streep, the only animated feature that I can think of that she was in, like, maybe she was in a few others, but the only one that's that would pop in my head is just Fantastic Mr. Fox. And that's it. But, and also, like, Mel Brooks as well. I mean, he's always, like, honestly, with Mel Brooks, sorry, let me rephrase that. With Mel Brooks, he's, you always have a good time whenever he's in an animated feature. Like, even with, Hotel Transylvania 2, a movie that I really didn't enjoy, and honestly, it kind of sucked. Like, Mel Brooks was pretty much the best part of that movie. So yeah, like, definitely, it seems very impressive. It's already in a movie that already has a lot of promise. But there is actually one massive thing that I really am concerned about. Okay, so the thing is, you got a movie that already has some great animation. You already have a, you already got a concept for it. You already got a great all-star cast. But my issue is going to be the translation. How are you going to be on that front? And that could be something that could make or break this movie in the English dub. Because the thing is that the Weinstein is not very well known to have a good reputation when it comes to having translations. Because I remember way back with a movie called Underdogs. And, that was this Argentinian movie about foosball. And when you see the trailers with the English translation, oh my god, it was a massive turnoff. It really was. I mean, the thing is that, like, I don't know what it was, but it was so, the way that it was written is just stupidly corny. The acting wasn't all that great either. And the jokes were just terrible. They really were. And it was a massive turnoff. And that could be something that can really hinder the Guardian Brothers when it's going to be in English. Which, honestly, like, that's my biggest worrisome. Like, you could have taken, that would be something, you could take something great and you would turn it into a massive disaster. But, I just pray to God so far that, or I pray to the spirits in this case, that the Weinstein Company, they will get a respectable writer who will be capable of taking the Chinese translations and properly turn it into English. And, they did already state that it's going to be more of an animated comedy. But either way, I don't know. That's just going to be my one thing that I'm going to be worried about, is going to be how it's going to be translated into English. But yeah, but for now, I'm still going to be optimistic about it. It has a great cast and it's already a great movie in Japan, in China. Sorry about that. So yeah, we don't know when specifically the Weinstein Company is going to be releasing this onto North American theaters, but let's see how it goes. And the only thing I'll say to Weinstein, don't screw this up. Now, our next story, it's going to be about a Japanese animated feature. Yes, we are going to be jumping from China to Japan. And with this one, it's already breaking brand new records, and it's already gaining itself an audience. But now it seems like we're going to be getting the English translation of it as well. It's not just with the Guardian Brothers, but we're also be getting it for Your Name, which is already getting a lot of praises, and it's already getting a lot of nominations and some awards as well. Right now, it has already gotten a nomination for Best Independent Animated Feature and Best Director at the Annie Awards, and it actually won Best Animated Feature at the Los Angeles Film Critics Association. And chances are, there could be a chance that it might even get a nomination at the Academy Awards, but we will only know next week. Which, by the way, just a little bit of a spoilers for the next episode of the Animation Podcast. Yes, I will be talking about the nominations at the Oscars. But yeah, this, and by the way, this is all coming from my source here on Cartoon Brew. But on top of that, that's not the announcement that they have done for it. The big announcement is the fact that Your Name is actually going to be coming to North America. And this is actually going to be provided to us by, it's going to be provided to us by Funimation. And if you guys don't know what the story of Your Name is, it's basically, think a bit of a romance movie, but with Freaky Friday as well. Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. Imagine if Freaky Friday is a romantic comedy. So, like, going into the little synopsis that Cartoon Brew wrote, in the film, two high schoolers, Mitsuha and Taki, complete strangers living separate lives, suddenly switch bodies, a bizarre occurrence that continues to happen randomly and leads them to want to meet each other. And so, going into, but also I just want to take a quote from Gen Fukunaga, the founder and CEO of Funimation Entertainment. He said, it's truly a joy to be a part of a film like Your Name that has surprised everyone's expectations and quickly captivated the hearts and attention of audiences and film critics alike. I have always believed that a touching and beautifully told story can mesmerize mainstream audiences regardless of a film genre. Your Name is the perfect example of this, and will be on the journal, and will be on that journalists will point to for years to come. And there is actually one more thing that I forgot to mention about Your Name, is that it is already breaking brand new records, and a big one, in fact, because right now Your Name is currently the highest grossing Japanese animated feature of all time. Yes, this actually did beat out Spirited Away. And if I could take a moment to be honest about it, like, already, I actually, like, the thing is that I did mention that, like, this is a highly praised animated feature, but in actuality, though, like, I actually am seeing a lot of mixed reactions more than anything. Like, I know that there are some people who really do praise it, but at the same time, I also seen some people who thought it was just okay, and then I've seen some people who actually do hate it. So if anything, it's not a highly praised movie. It's more something that did get a lot of mixed reactions. And I think it's mostly going to be the element of, like, the brand new record of the highest grossing Japanese animated feature of all time that's really going to be, like, it's really going to be an aspect that's going to make or break people. Because let's be honest, with Spirited Away, that is pretty much, like many people, like everybody can pretty much agree, Spirited Away is one of the greatest animated features of all time. It's Hayao Miyazaki's magnum opus. It's absolutely such a gorgeous film, and it's kind of like not only the peak of animation, but it's also like the peak of imagination, basically. But with this, with Your Name, I mean, yeah, sure, it's bound to happen that there's going to be an animated feature that would one day beat the record of Spirited Away. It's bound to happen. It should be expected. But the fact that there is an actual animated film like Your Name that just came in and actually took that record from Spirited Away, like I said, it's seriously going to make or break people. Like, they're going to watch Your Name and they will be mesmerized and they will be so happy that they really did enjoy and that they are a fan of a historical animated feature that actually did champion something like Spirited Away. Or there are going to be some people who will hate this with a passion that a piece of, like, a movie that is either average or a piece of crap like this would dare take away the record that has been for a long time for a long time it has been given to Spirited Away. That's the biggest thing. So it's really going to make or break people. And I think for many of them in North America, they will truly see if it's going to be something that they will take from, they'll see for themselves if Your Name is going to be something that's really worth watching, and if it's something that is worth having the record of the highest grossing Japanese animated feature of all time. But if you guys are interested to see when this movie will be coming out, well, Funimation has already scheduled it to be released on April 7th, which is pretty much at the same time as Smurfs The Lost Village. So, yeah, just mark your calendars and see for yourself if Your Name truly does deserve that title. And so, finally, we now have Matt's Pick of the Week. And this week, it was actually rather interesting, because apparently there is a holiday that I have never heard of in my life. And somehow it actually exists. It's a thing, apparently. And it's actually called Sony Animation Day. Now, some of you are probably wondering, what is Sony Animation Day? And what do you do to commemorate Sony Animation Day? Well, I will tell you. You have to do something in order to celebrate the animated films that Sony Pictures Animation have released. So what you do is basically you have to watch an animated film that is so bad and so unwatchable that it makes you want to throw up. Nah, but seriously though, basically Sony Animation Day is just some stupid thing that Sony made up just so that they can have an excuse to make a list of announcements regarding the animated films that are going to be coming up for 2017 and 2018. And with the new plan that Sony Animation wants to do, there is actually a lot of them. So, let's not waste any time and let's get things started by going into the order of when these animated films are going to be released, and we'll begin with Smurfs The Lost Village. Now, the thing that they have announced in Smurfs The Lost Village is actually going to be what's in The Lost Village. They decided, screw it, we might as well spoil the movie. And yes, in The Lost Village is going to be a tribe of female Smurfs. Sony basically announced that there are going to be brand new Smurf girls, including Smurf Storm, Smurf Blossom, Smurf Lily, and the leader, Smurf Willow. Now, these Smurf ladies are going to be voiced by Michelle Rodriguez, Ellie Kemper, Ariel Winter, and Julia Roberts, respectively. But on top of that, they have also announced a list of cameos of who's going to be in the movie. So the cameos include Gordon Ramsay will be Baker Smurf, Gabriel Iglesias as Jokey Smurf, Titus Burgess as Vanity Smurf, Jeff Dunham as Farmer Smurf, Jake Johnson as Grouchy Smurf, and finally, the director of this movie, Kelly Asbury, will be Nosy Smurf. So that's basically the whole idea that they got with Smurfs The Lost Village, is mostly to announce about the girl Smurfs that are going to be in there. And then next up, we got everybody's most beloved animated feature that we're all excited for, the Emoji Movie. Yes, that's still gonna be a freaking thing. Oh, I know, it's just, oh God, if there's one thing that proves that there's gonna be worse things coming out than the Nutjob 2, it's gonna be freaking this. But anyways, the only thing that Sony Animation has revealed about the Emoji Movie is gonna be more of who's gonna be in the cast. Like, who among these people, like, who is it among the celebrities that are so desperate enough to have the money in order to appear in the Emoji Movie? Well, they actually include Jennifer Coolidge, who's going to be playing as Jean's mother, Mary Meh. Maya Rudolph will be playing Smiler. Jake T. Austin as Alex. And the big news that people took the most from all the announcements that Sony Animation made, other than, like, the Spider-Man stuff, Sir Patrick Stewart will be playing Poop. Beforehand, it was Tom Kane who was playing the character back when he was known as Poop Daddy, but now they decided he's just going to be named Poop and he's going to be Patrick Stewart. That's pretty much the whole thing. And then we move on to probably the biggest announcement that they've done is The Star. And the biggest announcement, by that, I mean pretty much, like, the most that they've revealed about it. Now, we know that The Star is going to be the story of the first Christmas, when Jesus Christ was born, and it's going to be in the perspective of the animals. But Sony Animation decided that they are going to reveal the giant list of, not necessarily A-list stars, but celebrities that are going to be lending their voice in this. And these include, so bear with me because there's a lot of them. There's Steven Yeun as Bo the Donkey, Kelly Clarkson as Leah the Horse, A.D. Bryant as Ruth the Sheep, Keegan-Michael Key as Dave the Dove, Kristen Chenoweth as a Mouse, Anthony Anderson as Zach the Goat, Gabriel Iglesias as Rufus the Dog, Ving Rhames as Thaddeus the Dog, Delilah Reen as Elizabeth, Chris Christopherson as Old Donkey, Gina Rodriguez as Mary, Zachary Levi as Joseph, and also there are going to be three camels that are going to be voiced by Oprah Winfrey, named Deborah, Tyler Perry as Cyrus, and Tracy Morgan as Felix. And finally, we also got Christopher Plummer as King Herod. And what's actually very interesting is that unlike all the other Sony Pictures animation films, this one is not going to be directly done at Sony Pictures Imageworks in terms of where the animation is going to be. This is actually going to be done at CineSite Studios. And it's actually very interesting because with The Star, this is going to be a massive collaboration between several big studios. It's not just going to be Sony Pictures Animation, but also, like I said, CineSite Studios is going to be providing the animation. And they're also going to get a helping hand from the Jim Henson Company, where Lisa Henson and Brian Henson are going to be involved as the producers, which is actually pretty interesting. And then next up, we're going to 2018, where they revealed the plot about Hotel Transylvania 3. Now, they didn't really reveal among who is going to be the new people that is going to be in the cast. Like, that's already been known. Like, we got Adam Sandler as Dracula, Selena Gomez as Mavis, and Andy Samberg as Johnny. And yes, of course, we got the man who decided that money is more important than having a reputation and creativity in general. Genndy Tartakovsky decided to go back as the director and also be the writer along with Michael McCullers. And basically, the plot that we are getting with Hotel Transylvania 3, and I'm going in my source here on comingsoon.net, where it says, Mavis surprises Dracula with a family voyage on a luxury monster cruise ship so he can take a vacation from providing everyone else's vacation at the hotel. The rest of the Drac Pack cannot resist going along, and once they leave port, romance zings Dracula when he meets the mysterious ship captain Erica. Now, it's Mavis' turn to play the overprotective parent, keeping her dad and Erica apart. Little do they know that his too-good-to-be-true love interest is actually a descendant of Van Helsing, arch-nemesis of Dracula and all monsters. However, this is not going to be the only thing that Sony is going to do with Hotel Transylvania. In fact, they're actually going to do something this year, where they are actually going to make a brand new animated short called Puppy. And Puppy is basically this little Hotel Transylvania cartoon, again, by Genndy Tartakovsky, where the little kid, you know, that kid that looks like an absolute horrendous ripoff of one of the triplets from Brave, he decided to bring in this giant monster as a pet. And that's basically the whole cartoon. But there is actually a catch. If you are excited to see this little cartoon with Hotel Transylvania and Dennis, oh, trust me, don't, because there is a huge catch to this. If you want to see Puppy, then you have to go see the Emoji Movie. That's right, Puppy is only going to be premiering right in front of the Emoji Movie. That's the only way that you have to go and check it out. Yeah, Sony got you there, didn't it? But anyways, going back into the announcements, last but certainly not least, in fact, last and the best, is actually the untitled animated Spider-Man. And with this one, they didn't reveal anybody in the cast. They did update on who's going to be in the crew, but there is one massive thing that they did reveal about this Spider-Man movie, and it is officially confirmed that this Spider-Man, it will not be Peter Parker, but instead it's going to be Miles Morales, or Miles Morals, or however you pronounce it. But yeah, it's basically going to be Miles. So we are legit going to be getting an African-American Spider-Man. But what is actually interesting about it is that we are actually getting a little bit of an update on who's going to be among the crew. Now, one of the big things is that we do know that Phil Lord and Chris Miller is going to be attached to this project, but not necessarily in the way that you think. Surprisingly enough, the writing is only done by Phil Lord. It's just him. But Lord and Miller are still going to be a duo in this, by being the executive producers. So that's pretty much the big thing. But also, In terms of the directing, there is a little bit of a change as well. Bob Percicchetti is still going to be the director, but at the same time, he's going to have backup as well. There's also going to be Peter Ramsey that's going to be the director with Bob. And if you don't know who Peter Ramsey is, he used to work at DreamWorks where he was the director of Rise of the Guardians. So that's actually going to be pretty interesting to see his directorial comeback since Rise of the Guardians. But at least like he's going to get additional help as well from Bob. So yeah, that's basically all the announcements that they have done. Like technically they did announce, they did talk more about Vivo, but they didn't really add anything new to it. They just, the only thing that they talked about is that yes, they're doing Vivo and Lin-Manuel Miranda of Hamilton and Moana is going to be providing the music for it. You know, like they've already met, like they're just talking about stuff that we already know about the project. But anyways, with all that said, though, with the announcements, allow me to just go back into the list and let me give you guys a little bit about my thoughts on each of the announcements that they have made. Okay, so first off, with Smurfs the Lost Village, the thing is that it's kind of stupid of Sony that they decided, screw it, we're just going to go and immediately announce who is, like, what's going to be in the Lost Village. We don't care if it's going to spoil the movie, but in a way, I kind of do understand what Sony is trying to do. In their defense, they have already stated that they're going a little bit further back from the source material. Like, Smurfette is not a product of Gargamel anymore. Like, now, apparently, she was, like, she's one of the members of the Lost Village, but somehow she ended up with all the guys. So, with all that said, like, I do understand why Sony wants to, they want to pretty much announce who is going to be more in the cast. Like, they're a lot more excited to the point that they don't care if they're going to spoil a little bit of the movie. But yeah, the one thing that I am a little bit worried about with the new female Smurfs, like Smurf Storm, Smurf Blossom, Smurf Lily, and Smurf Willow, I'm a little bit worried that they might go into the Chipettes route with it. Because the main Smurfs that are going on this journey, like, we got Smurfette, but we're also getting Papa Smurf, we're also getting Brainy Smurf, Clumsy Smurf, and Hefty Smurf. What I'm worried about is that they're basically going to be, like, the gender-bent versions. Like, where you got the strong one, the clumsy one, the smart one, and, like, you got the leader, basically, which is Papa Smurf and Smurf Willow. That's kind of the aspect that I am a little bit worried about, that they're going to go into that kind of direction where, like, they're taking another step from, thing from Alvin and the Chipmunks. So I honestly don't know. I don't really have that much high hopes for Smurfs Lost Village, but at the same time, I'm not expecting it to be a bad movie. So we'll just wait and see how it goes. Maybe the execution on it will be good. I do trust Kelly Asbury that he can at least bring out something that is entertaining for it. And also, as for the cameos, well, let's be honest, they're just cameos. They're not really going to add much to the movie. So yeah, for Smurfs Lost Village, we're just going to wait and see how that goes there. And then, oh boy, the Emoji Movie. Oh god. Now, like I said before, one of the biggest news that everybody took from all the announcements that Sony Animation made outside of Spider-Man is actually the fact that for some reason, they actually managed to get Patrick Stewart to play the infamous poop emoji. But you know what's actually interesting, though, is that I think people are more pissed off on the Emoji Movie more so than Patrick Stewart himself. Because the thing is, like, it's hard to really be mad at Patrick Stewart. Like, you're not going to see people be pissed off at Patrick Stewart himself for saying yes to something like the Emoji Movie. I'm sure Patrick Stewart is looking at this going, I don't care what you think because I am Patrick Stewart. I'm going to literally have on my portfolio that I actually voiced a turd in a dumb animated movie. But it doesn't really matter. You're still going to like me anyways because I am Patrick Stewart, and you'll always remember me as Captain Picard no matter what dumb crap I do. So yeah, basically that's kind of my theory on it, is that really people are just like, this is just another piece of news that gives people more reason why to hate the Emoji Movie even more. The fact that they would take a well-respected actor, a Shakespearean actor like Patrick Stewart, and make him voice literally a piece of crap. Like, I think that's kind of the big thing that people are just pissed off about on this. But yeah, we all know that it's going to suck no matter what they do. But anyways, let's go back into the store right now. And yeah, I mean, honestly, there's nothing much here that's really changing my mind about this. Like, maybe this could be interesting, maybe it won't. Honestly, I would need a trailer or something like that to know, like, to see if this is going to work out or not. But honestly, it's actually very interesting that Sony Animation decided that they're going to outsource it in order to create this feature. I mean, it is true that they are making like freaking 3 animated features in 2017, so they can't really all do it by themselves and like really cram Sony Pictures Imageworks with nothing but their dumb animated projects. So of course they gotta hand one over to CineSite. And who knows, like, honestly, as a feature film, like, in terms of, like, the movies themselves, I feel like The Star might have a lot more promise than Smurfs the Lost Village or, well, of course, especially the Emoji Movie. Like, they might actually turn out good. But again, I do feel like this could end up as a box office bomb. Like, if I could be real for a moment, I wouldn't be surprised if The Star would make even less money than the Emoji Movie. And it's not because it's going to suck, but it's more the factor that it is made for a very, very, very specific audience. It's not just a holiday film, but it's a Christmas Christian film that looks into the aspect of baby Jesus. And I know that some people say that Christian movies are making a lot of money, but they're usually really low budget, and animated films are not that expensive. I mean, like, I can imagine the lowest that maybe The Star could go in terms of its budget, like, would probably be somewhere like maybe 70 or even 60 million. And you, and trust me, for Christian films, you're going to need a lot more cash to deliver in than whatever you've made on something like Passion of the Christ, because that's actually hugely successful. I mean more like you need more than just like the profits of God is not dead. So that's one of my biggest worry. But as a movie itself, maybe it might turn out pretty good. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But especially like another factor, may I add. That I am worried that it's going to be a box office bomb is the factor of the release date. It's going to be out on November 10th. That's closer to Halloween than it is on Christmas. Especially, like, they're going to release this movie. I'm guessing, like, a lot of people aren't even going to care because, like, it's not even, like, it's going to be out even before American Thanksgiving. And then a movie like Coco is going to come in to overshadow it. So yeah, basically going back to what I was saying, I don't know how it's going to be at the box office. I'm not expecting anything like really high on this, but maybe as a movie, it might turn out to be good. Maybe it could even be actually be as good as Arthur Christmas. Who knows? But then we go into 2018 with that stuff. And with Hotel Transylvania 3, as you guys may know, I am no fan of the Hotel Transylvania films, and honestly, reading the plot synopsis, like, holy crap. Like, honestly, I'm just thinking to myself, like, is this a joke? Because literally, quite literally, they're rehashing the first movie, and they put it into the third film. Except now, like, they decided to switch the roles where Dracula is going to be Mavis's role, and Mavis is going to be in Dracula's role. I mean, I'm looking at this like, are you kidding me? This is just purely lazy. This is just honestly stupid. I mean, Genndy Tartakovsky has to seriously take his time out of any other projects to do something like this. And keep in mind, I remember when Genndy Tartakovsky made his announcement that he's going back to Hotel Transylvania 3, he stated that when he was working on Samurai Jack, he got this amazing idea that really made him to go back into it made him go back to Sony Animation to work on Hotel Transylvania again. And, and honestly, looking at this, it's like, really? Is your plan literally to rewrite the first Hotel Transylvania, but to do a role reversal? For a fact that you're lying to everyone and you're just doing it for the money. Like, that's pretty much it. This is a freaking joke. And I'm honestly, I have no hopes for Hotel Transylvania 3. And honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if this is going to be the thing that this is going to kill the franchise, even for the fans of Hotel Transylvania. Like, literally, they're going to be so lazy with it to the point that it's even going to turn off them. No matter how funny they're going to make it, it's still going to be a really bad movie, and people can tell when they're being screwed over. But may I say, guys, the funniest thing that ever came out of all these announcements, the one that I looked at it and, it's making me laugh at the pitiful stupidity at Sony, is the fact that they have to make a Hotel Transylvania animated short to put it in front of the Emoji Movie. I mean, there is no hiding. There is no secret. Everybody knows for a fact that all this is, like, this puppy animated short is nothing but a pitiful, desperate excuse for people to go watch the Emoji Movie. So, like, this is an indicator that Sony Pictures Animation is very well aware for a fact that everybody hates the Emoji Movie, and it's going to be a massive box office bomb to the point that they are going to lose a lot of money for, they're going to lose a lot of money on it. Seriously. And I mean, is Sony seriously expecting that the Hotel Transylvania fans are going to be so crazy for this new animated short to the point that they are going to legitimately go buy a ticket to the Emoji Movie to go see this animated short? Hell no. Even I know for a fact that Hotel Transylvania fans are not that freaking stupid. You gotta accept your fate, Sony. Everybody hates the Emoji Movie, and it's going to fail miserably, and you will forever be known as failures making who have previously done the Emoji Movie. You just gotta freaking accept it. Alright, but anyways, finally, going into the news of the animated Spider-Man movie. Now, honestly, this is out of all the animated films that they have announced, this is the one that I'm actually excited for the most. This is the one I'm actually having high hopes for, believe it or not. And it's actually pretty interesting that now, the duo of Phil Lord and Chris Miller is a little bit more separate here, where it's only Phil Lord who actually did write for this film. It's actually quite interesting. But one thing that does make me, the one thing that I am actually pretty excited is the fact that they actually did bring in Peter Ramsey to go and be one of the directors for this. You know, what he did for Rise of the Guardians is actually a really good job. And, seeing his directorial comeback and going to help Bob out to go direct this movie, like a Spider-Man movie. And on top of that, from what I've heard, from what people have seen from the preview of this Spider-Man film, is that what they're going to do with the animation is going to be brand new. It's going to be interesting. This is pretty much the only project that I'm encouraging Sony Animation to do something a lot more different. And I am actually really glad that they are going to do something really different, especially when they're going to have Miles Morales or something like that. I'll just call him Miles now. They are going to bring in Miles to become Spider-Man, that they're going to do something a little bit more different than always doing the story of Peter Parker and stuff like that. I've already mentioned this before in a previous episode of the Animation Podcast, but the one thing that I am worried about with this new Spider-Man is going to be the reaction the fact that there's going to be this African-American Spider-Man. And you never know in, like, the age of Trump where the races are pretty much going to be running rampant and, like, they're just going to be, you know, like, they're pretty much going to be raging over the fact that now Spider-Man is black. Regardless of what the history of Spider-Man has been said, like, regardless of whatever happened, they're just going to be pissed off over the fact that Spider-Man is not white. And they're just going to make up whatever bullcrap excuse to, in order for themselves to be racist. Like, they're going to say, oh, it's my freedom of speech, it's my opinion, or whatever bullcrap garbage they're going to say just so they can have an excuse to be a racist Nazi, you know? But other than that, I will say that I am definitely excited for this Spider-Man movie, so who knows what's going to happen. But overall, like, with all the announcements that Sony Animation has done with all these, you know, I wouldn't even say that this is really announcements. All this is just a list of an extra plot synopsis and, like, an entire grocery list of celebrities that are going to be lending their voice for, like, their movies, honestly. The only thing that really is an announcement is the fact that they have announced a brand new Hotel Transylvania short, but nobody's gonna go watch it anyways, because they're not that stupid to go and buy a ticket to the Emoji Movie just to see this animated short. I don't think they're that crazy for it. Like, I know for a fact that the fans are just gonna wait until someone uploads it on YouTube, or if it's going to be out on DVD somewhere. Like, honestly, who knows? But, yeah, honestly, this is not really changing my mind in terms of how these movies are going to be. Like, my mind, like, honestly, the only thing that I've got as a clarification on how the movie is going to be is going to be with Hotel Transylvania 3, which, like, there's a very, like, honestly, it almost confirms me that it's really going to suck, considering that they're just going to copy the plot of the first movie, and literally that's it. But other than that, like, I know for a fact that the Emoji Movie is going to be a disaster. I'm still a little bit iffy on Smurfs the Lost Village. The store might actually have some potential, and I'm actually excited for the Spider-Man movie. And I would actually say that if Sony Animation somehow survives through 2020, then I'm actually excited for the Vivo project as well. But yeah, like, we'll have to wait and see if Sony is even going to survive through 2017. Like, the thing is, like I said, we know for a fact that the Emoji Movie is going to be a bomb, and there's a very high chance that The Star is also going to be a bomb. So, and plus the fact that, like, the big head of Sony Entertainment is going to have a massive change since Michael Linden decided to step down and there's going to be a brand new boss. Who knows if the new head of Sony Entertainment decided that Sony Animation isn't working out and they're going to let it go. So who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, that's basically all the announcements that Sony Animation has done. And we'll just wait and see how their movies are going to go. But chances are 2017 is not necessarily going to be kind to them. And that is all that I got for this week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. And you can also find me on Twitter at animat505. If you listen to this episode of the if you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, please go out there and rate and review this episode. That would be great. And, you know, that'll let people know that the Animation Podcast would be worth listening to. And if you're listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button on our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next week, see you later, dudes.